listening to the Matt Mercer Live Radio Network.
Matt Mercer Live. Imparting wisdom to the masses on a daily basis.
Matt Mercer Live.
Get ready, America.
It's time
for Matt Mercer Live. In 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Welcome, Jacksonville, the River City, North Florida, and realms beyond. This is Attorney Matt Mercer. You're listening to Matt Mercer Live. What a stunningly beautiful day today here in Jacksonville. The weather was unbelievably fantastic. Glad to be joining everyone here on our your dinner time drive. I'm here in studio at News 104.5's Jurisprudential Bunker. That is the studios here on the second floor, broadcasting in many, many watts as we help you make sense out of the law. Talking about legal topics aplenty tonight. We are live, and you know, there's a couple of ways you can plug into the show. You can email us. You can even call in. I'll take your questions. Tonight's topic, though, be on topic, if you would. We're going to talk about contract law. We're going to talk about things related to contracts. If you have a question about contracts or maybe starting a business, maybe there's a lien that's been put on your house, something along those lines, you can call in at 855-765-1045. That's 855-765-1045. I'll give you that number again a little bit later. The other way to plug in, many people, a lot of small business owners don't necessarily like to be live on radio, broadcasting all over with legal questions. You know, it's a little bit different if you own a business. So we get questions a lot by email. If you grab your pen, I'll give you our email address. You can email live during the show, wokv@mercerfirm.com. Once again, the email, wokv@mercerfirm, mercerfirm.com. Not just during the show. We get questions throughout the week. So save that email address if you're going through your week and all of a sudden something comes up and you're like, you know, I would love to email that guy and get an answer to this legal question or this curiosity I have about something in the law. Maybe for entertainment purposes, I can help. All right. I always preach this. I've been doing radio off and on since 2009, and I have a maxim that I love to say. There is no such thing as a standard contract, no such thing as standard terms. You have to be careful when you are a business owner or a consumer and you're presented with a vendor's contract, where it looks like it's the standard terms and conditions. There is no such thing. Now, tonight, I want to focus in on a particular type of contract at my law firm, Mercer Law, here in North Florida. We litigate, we try cases in court, and participate in arbitrations and mediations, etc., dealing with all sorts of different types of contracts, contractual disputes, contractual fights that folks get themselves into with other people, with other businesses. This is what we do, right? But tonight, I'm going to narrow it in on a particular type of contract, then we'll jump into some other topics. But our first segment here, I want to focus in on problems that are, we have a really big problem in Florida with lousy construction builders. Oh, I just offended a few good builders. The good builders shouldn't be offended. The good ones know they're good. I'm talking about the bad builders. Not the good builders, the bad ones. These are the guys that take your money and don't come do the job. That's what we mean. This is the builder that starts the job and quits midway, and you're left with a project, construction, a house, adding on to a house, et cetera, or a building, and the builder's just gone AWOL. That's a bad builder, right? You've done everything right as a homeowner, as a consumer, or worse, you get a builder that just violates the building code and doesn't follow any of the rules, construction defects aplenty, and you are left holding the bag. But worse, you get the builder, the bad builder that puts the lien on your house and then wants to foreclose on your house after all of that, to add insult to injury. Okay, this is worth the price of admission. I'm going to give you, for those of you playing along, I'm going to give you three contract clauses that in the construction industry, if you're on the consumer side, or you're on the, what I mean by that is you're on the side that is receiving the construction services here in Florida. Again, many wonderfully talented, generous, ethical, and moral builders. I'm focusing in on how to protect yourself from the bad ones. That's the topic. If you've got a contract or a proposal from a builder, these three clauses that I'm going to share with you, I would recommend you think very seriously before just signing because it looks like a standard form. What are these three clauses? And why are they something that many consumers should avoid? And by the way, you could be a business owner building a commercial building. These same principles apply. Or maybe you're building a house. Maybe you're putting a new roof on. Maybe you're adding on an addition. Doesn't really matter. The principles are the same. I'll tell you what these three clauses are. And this comes from experience. Okay, here in Florida, dealing with a lot of issues and challenges. A lot of builders in Florida do a great job, but many of them don't. So what are the three clauses? First, I recommend you do not agree to arbitration. I say that. I'm a fan of arbitration in many contexts. Many types of business deals, an arbitration clause makes sense. But here's the problem, or here's what can be the problem. If you sign a proposal or a contract with a builder, and if that contract, if you haven't had an attorney look it over and it has an arbitration clause, one of the potential risks is that the arbitrator, when you get in a fight later with your builder, what does arbitration mean? It means you can't just sue the builder in court. Or it means the builder can sue you in arbitration. And you think, gosh, I'd like to go to court. I'd like the spotlight of public observation to be on this case, but no, it'll be in private arbitration. You might think, oh, I would like to have a jury of my peers decide this. What the builder did was outrageous. And yet, if you've signed a contract or a proposal, and if it has an arbitration clause, if it's a construction-related contract, you might want to think twice. I'm not ruling them out completely. But more and more, there are problems for you, the consumer. Why is that? Because with an arbitration process, that means instead of a judge or a jury deciding the facts in the case, you can't go to court. You have to go to a private arbitration hearing. And a private arbitrator decides the case as if they were a judge, but they're not a judge. In fact, they may not even be a lawyer. They may not even understand the law. And yet the arbitrator is going to get to decide your case. Huh, that's kind of puzzling. The arbitrator may understand the law, but may not apply the law. And you may get this award or this ruling that is completely confusing, not rooted in the same reality that you're used to. Now, if you're on the receiving end of a good award, it is a wonderful, wonderful day, but you got to be careful. The other concern that many folks have, although there are many good, ethical, consistent, fair arbitrators who decide these cases in a binding way, there is some concern that some arbitrators may tend to have a pro-industry leaning. What does that mean? Well, if you're the consumer, you're not the industry. The industry is construction, although arbitration can apply in many industries other than construction. But if you've got an arbitration clause, you need to be careful to make sure that the tribunal or that the arbitrator or the arbitration process is going to generate to the greatest extent possible a neutral decider of your case, somebody that is not pro-industry. Very, very difficult sometimes to know on the front end. So what do I suggest? If you are looking to add a room onto your house, you're thinking about putting a new roof on, you're thinking about building, and you get the proposal from the general contractor, you know, you may want to have an attorney look it over. If you're going to spend $50,000, $100,000, $200,000 or more, that's a big investment. It may make sense to have somebody look at it. If I saw an arbitration clause, I'd want to ask a few other questions, but I might end up recommending that we strike through, take our little pen, strike through that clause, make it not be applicable. Why? most of the time, a lot of the time, things go well. There's not a problem. The person builds it. It's great. You move on. They move on. Everybody's happy. But when something goes wrong, again, we're talking about the cynical side of it. You, as the consumer, want to have the option of going to court. All right. Second clause to be careful of when you're looking at a construction contract or proposal is what we call a waiver of jury trial provision. Normally, if you get sued by a builder, you normally, at law here in Florida, have the right to answer and ask for a jury to decide the case. Even if the builder didn't, you have that right. What's a jury? You know what a jury is. How big is it? Six people. Six people here in Florida. Now, there are two occasions when you can get a 12-person jury, not related to this conversation. Capital murder and eminent domain, for example. Okay, but that's not on topic. A civil case, generally six persons from the community, and what role do they play? They get to decide the facts of your case in trial. It's going to be far easier, ceteris paribus, all other things being equal, in my experience, if you're the consumer, the jury may be able to relate to you or at least be on equal footing, right? So a waiver of jury trial clause, if that's in the contract, if I'm reviewing this proposal for you, I may, I'm not going to be universal on everything, but I may decide to recommend striking that clause so that you keep the option of asking for a jury on the table. If nothing goes wrong and you're not in any lawsuit, you don't need to sue the builder for construction defects or whatnot. Wonderful. Hunky dory. Fantastic. But I'd like you to have the right to have a jury decide the case. Not an arbitrator. And maybe a judge. I mean, I'd rather have a judge in some cases. But generally, I'm going to really look at the context of who you are and the facts and what you're trying to build and what county you're in. And I may make a recommendation to strike the waiver of jury trial clause. Third clause, and this one's really simple to understand. If you're looking at that construction proposal or that contract, and actually I would say this third one applies to almost any contract that you are looking at. Forget construction, any contract. It's called venue. Venue. What is venue? Venue goes to where, if you get into a lawsuit, if you get into a fight with the other party to the contract, whether it's your business needing to bring a suit against another business, or your business needing to sue a vendor, or a vendor wanting to sue you, venue goes to where, the where, what county in Florida, or what state. So if you are in Duval County, for example, you do not most likely want to have a venue clause that might put it in Miami or Tampa, all right? Why? Obviously, because that's a long way away from you if you're here. Venue should be most of the time where you are to give you a cheaper way of litigating. It's much more expensive, more complicated if you have to deal with lawyers that are halfway across the state. And yet you'll see sometimes the builders or other people will put venue clauses in their proposals, tuck them in neatly. By the way, the venue clauses, I mean, it's odd. You just look about two-thirds of the way down in most of the contracts, service agreement, purchase agreement, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And there you're going to see two-thirds, three-fourths of the way down. Generally, you'll see the venue clause. Sometimes baked into another provision called miscellaneous, sometimes baked into another provision called governing law. These are all important because when things go wrong, you want to have the home court advantage. If the builder is in Daytona or the builder's in Orlando, you're here, or you're in St. John's County, you want to be litigating here. Hopefully you won't have to litigate, but just in case, those are three provisions. Striking the clause is a very effective way to do it. You can literally take your pen out and draw a line through it. But once you sign it, you may be stuck. Hire a lawyer. Hire a lawyer on the front end to take a look at it. But ask the lawyer, is this in your normal practice area? Does this type of contract, is this something that you have considerable experience reviewing based on the industry? If it's a commercial lease, if it's a mortgage, if it's a service agreement, if it's a, you know, a purchase agreement, ask, you know, ask how, the level of experience. Do not assume that all lawyers have the same background, the same training, the same experience. They're just like doctors in many ways. I like to draw that similarity. Well, all right. We're going to be rolling into a commercial break here. iPhone directions. Does your iPhone do what mine does and steer you off course only to make a U-turn to get back on? What's that all about? I'm attorney Matt Mercer of Mercer Law. You're listening to Matt Mercer Live, back in a few.
Broadcasting in a whole bunch of watts of radio power. You're listening to Matt Mercer Live. Matt Mercer Live.
Matt Mercer Live.
Listen a lot to learn a lot. You're listening to Matt Mercer Live with your host, Matt Mercer. Get ready, America. It's time for Matt Mercer Live.
In 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Welcome back to Matt Mercer Live. I'm attorney Matt Mercer from Mercer Law. Broadcasting live during your dinner time drive as we're entering our second segment here. Yeah, on the way here, my iPhone directions, man, I'm on 95. It tells me to get off the interstate, and I'm thinking, oh, there must be some traffic that I'm not aware of. So I abide. I get off the interstate. I follow faithfully my iPhone directions, and then it just tells me to make a U-turn and get right back on the same interstate. I'm a little puzzled by that, but that's okay. I still love my iPhone. Anyway, helping you make sense out of the law here, got an email. By the way, the email address, WOKV, grab your pen. It's WOKV, the call signs of this magnificent station, WOKV at mercerfirm.com. You can email your questions on the law 24/7. Shelley from Green Cove Springs writes, can you verbally change a loan payment arrangement with a lender? Can you verbally change a loan repayment arrangement with a lender? This is a really interesting question. The idea of, if you have a loan here in Florida, because I know we have folks listening terrestrially to this show in Georgia, the law is different in Georgia on many, many things. And folks listening, you know, from a lot further than Georgia over the internet. But let's talk Florida for just a minute. Shelley, if you have a loan or a mortgage here in Florida, and the question is if you can verbally change it? So you're talking to your bank about your loan, and you want to modify it. Maybe you want to lower the payment, and you're having a phone call or you're meeting with them face-to-face. You want to adjust the monthly payment. They agree verbally. But not in writing, just verbally. And maybe you start to make those lower payments right after you get off the call. You start making the payments. Maybe you're extending the loan term. Hey, my loan is coming due. Can we extend it for another couple of years or something like that? Maybe you have talking to your banker or talking to somebody on the telephone with giant mega bank. And the question then is that binding? They verbally agree. Oh, sure, we can make that happen. Let me just, make a note of it here. They verbally agree, but it's not in writing. Is that enforceable? That's the question. It's a great question, especially in this day and age with all of these lenders. You know, in the old days, when you dealt, going way back, you knew your banker. You went into the local bank. They knew you. You knew them. The world of banking is so different today. We're dealing with mega banks, and you're dealing with oftentimes telephone customer service people who can be from anywhere in the world. And it's difficult for lenders to keep controls on what individual people may say to you when you call and ask for a concession, lower payment, or that type of thing, right? And by the way, it doesn't really matter whether we're talking a mortgage or we're talking about a line of credit or we're talking, if it's a loan, and we're talking here in Florida. Now, in my practice as an attorney here in North Florida at Mercer Law, PA, we deal with both sides of cases involving creditor rights and debtor rights. So sometimes we're hired by the lender to collect, and sometimes we're hired by the debtor to defend. So we work on both sides of those kinds of cases, depending on who hires us first. So let's talk about Shelley's question, oral modification. Oral modification, verbal modification to a loan. How does it work? Well, in Florida, we have two different types of statutes of fraud. We've talked about it here on this show, Matt Mercer Live, in the past, the traditional statute of frauds. But in this context, there is an additional statute of frauds. We call it the banking statute of frauds. Now, what does that mean? What does that say? Essentially, what it means is that a modification to a loan must be in writing. Must be in writing. Can't be verbal to be enforceable. Period. Not only does it have to be in writing, it has to be signed by both parties. You know, so often you can have a verbal modification to a general contract without having to have it in writing. If you're selling, snow cones, you know, and you have an agreement to provide snow cones to somebody meeting their supply needs on an exclusive contract, you can sometimes modify that verbally, but not with a loan in Florida. So if you're the consumer, follow up and get something in writing and signed to make that modification enforceable. I'm attorney Matt Mercer. Check us out on the web at mercerfirm.com. That's mercerfirm.com.
Matt Mercer Live, helping you get even smarter.